You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live. Hello, welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Roberts and I'm joined by Matt Kendrick. Matt, how are you?
I'm all right. I just thought you've said your name is Dan Roberts and it's written at the bottom of the screen. We know who you are.
Yeah, but this is a podcast as well, remember, where people can't see the screen.
Sorry, remember, we do this as audio as well.
Yeah. Are you in the bathroom, by the way?
I'm not in the bathroom. I'm in a different, it's in my back room downstairs, but it's a different view. I've had to come downstairs because of the Wi-Fi issues. So hopefully you get a clearer connection. I thought you said we weren't going to start with waffle today.
Oh, there's always waffle, mate. It's a 0-0. What are we going to talk about? what do you expect? There's a few bits to go through, but first of all, as we usually start these podcasts, your general thoughts on the game, just seeing there, if you could summarise it in a minute or two.
Good question. Blankety blank. It was just a bit flat, wasn't it, really? The highlight was seeing Jack Grealish back, which I'm sure we'll go into in some detail shortly. You know, Tyrone Mings had missed that great chance first half. To me, it shows how much Villa miss Ollie Watkins, rely on Ollie Watkins, and how little there is in reserve. There wasn't the same kind of verb, if you like, or movement. And we'll come on to Kieran Davis's performance as well, I'm sure. But yeah, I thought a draw was fair enough. Martinez made a couple of decent saves to protect the point. Probably, dare I say, typical end of season fare.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to carry on.
Sorry. typical end of season fare.
It did feel like that, didn't it? It felt almost like a bit of it had that kind of pre-season element to it towards the end, the last 20 minutes. So you see Jack come back and a few niggles here and there and just kind of fades out into nothingness, pretty much like Villa season. But there's people in the comments are saying that's 4 points off Everton in a couple of weeks and that's decent progress.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is a decent return. I thought there were some decent performances in there as well. I thought McGinn looked a little bit more at it, to be honest, in terms of his work rate anyway. I think, what did Souness describe it as before the game? Perpetual motion, was it? I think that was quite accurate, because I thought he was running his socks off. I don't think the quality was always there, but the effort and the endeavour was. And the commentator said that's probably Ross Barkley's last appearance in a Villa shirt at Villa Park. I'd be inclined to agree. Obviously, he can't play against Chelsea in the final match at Villa Park anyway. And I'm not sure he'd be selected anyway. Now Jack Grealish is back fit and available. So, yeah, I thought he was disappointing and a bit flat again. But Douglas Luiz did okay after being the scapegoat at the weekend. I thought he came back and looked decent, but I think that's all it was. It was kind of your six and sevens out of 10 tonight, but that was enough to earn a point.
Do you feel a bit sorry for Barkley at this stage?
As he drives off in his top of the range sports car to his mansion. I do feel a little bit sorry for him from a professional career point of view. If I'm being honest, because I think this was a real opportunity for him, this loan spell, and it's just not happened. I think he probably could have done a little bit more himself to make it happen. I don't think it can all be down to bad luck. I think the injury that he suffered and the injury that coincided with Villa's training ground going into lockdown because of the COVID outbreak, which in itself seems like years ago, let alone months ago, I think that stalled his progress and probably stalled Villa's progress at that point as well. But, you know, it's how you bounce back, isn't it? It's how you recover from that. And if you're Ross Barkley leaving Champions League chasing Chelsea for Aston Villa, you'd back yourself to be perhaps not the best player in the Villa dressing room, because that's Jack Grealish, but you back yourself to be in the top two or three. And very rarely since those first couple of games has he been amongst the best 11 Villa players. That's why he's not, you know, until recently he's not made it off the bench into the first team. So I think he'll go with an element of regret that he didn't kind of kick on from the early stages. I'm not sure what his contract situation is like at Chelsea. I can't see him staying at Chelsea very long, to be honest. They look like they want to go places. So he's a Premier League player, isn't he? Where in the Premier League he ends up, I'm not sure, but I don't think it'll be at Chelsea, and I'm very, very sure it won't be at Aston Villa.
Yeah, I agree. He'll end up with somewhere like Crystal Palace, I think. It seems like a lot of Chelsea players go there, but maybe that's me just being weird. There's probably been one or two, maybe. Talk to me a little about Keenan Davis. Then, like we said, we all knew we'd missed Ollie Watkins. The comments seem pretty divided from the few I've seen so far. So for the people watching on live, you can let us know what you think of Davis, and we'll kind of throw those in as well. Some people are saying he should be proud of his performance. Some people say he did nothing. What did you make of Keenan Davis?
I think it's an awkward one, isn't it? Because we always say it's difficult to judge him over a 10-minute cameo, get him starting, get him in the starting lineup. I'm not sure he's quite got the quality to lead the line on his own. I don't think he's quite got the guile, to trouble defenders from minute one. From the first minute. I don't like the phrase minute one. From the first minute. I think we found it. It's a very narrow sample, so we can't write him off on the basis of one start tonight. But I think we found that Keane Davies does a lot of his good work when defenders are tiring at the end of the game, and he can use that burst of pace and energy and power. I don't think he had much of a look in today, to be honest. I still would like to see him play in a two up with Watkins to see what he could do. I don't think Dean Smith's going to do that from the start of games. You know, he's not suddenly going to rip up his tried and trusted formation now. I thought he worked hard. I thought he put the graft in, you know, for little return, really. Said before, I know he scored against Albion the other week, but he's not a kind of goal-scoring striker, is he? I don't want to write him off after one start, but I still think that a spell in the Championship will give us a real good gauge of what he's about.
Yeah, that was literally my next question. What do we do with him now? The comments seem to say that he did well with what he got in terms of his service. There wasn't much for him to do tonight, but he's not the kind of player like Watkins that will make a chance for himself, because he needs the ball to be played into him. And if he doesn't get the service, what is that?
I live in a haunted house. I've got really actually, I'd taking some advice in the comments. I've got really squeaky doors at the moment.
Can I get some WD-40?
Is a bit of WD-40 on the hinges?
Yeah, probably. That was bizarre. That really threw me.
Sound a bit Adam's Family, don't it, though?
Keenan Davis, right, yeah. Basically, he did all right with what he had, but he's still not a great Premier League striker, I think. What you do with him next is questionable, isn't it? I don't know how old he is now, because you think of him as a youngster, but I'm sure he's 22 or 23, so not really a youngster in today's standards. So alone in the Championship, and if he scores two or three goals, that's probably the end of his Villa career. If he has a great season in the Championship, then maybe there's a Villa future for him the following year. But you've got to wait and see, haven't you? Like, he still hasn't played that many minutes for Villa, really. He has, and he hasn't.
He's 23 years old, apparently.
23. So it's not a youngster, is it? The kids that are coming through at the moment that will be playing Albion tomorrow night, they're the youngsters. They're the ones that are coming through. A 23-year-old, if they're good enough, are playing in the first team, aren't they?
It feels like a veteran, doesn't he? Feels like he's been around been around for ages now. Yeah, listen, I think if he was gonna be good enough to be a starting striker with Aston Villa, he'd have probably emerged in the Championship for him to enter the creaky door again. get up and close it.
Is that Keenan Davis on his way out to the Championship?
That's Keenan Davis' aching legs after his 90 minutes tonight, with the aged veteran that he is at 23. What we're saying about him? Listen, he's not gonna break through and become Villa's first choice centre forward. Villa have paid upwards of 30 million quid for their first choice centre forward, who has kind of, you know, delivered all the way up through the pyramid in terms of goals as well as all round play. It's the battle to be Ollie Watkins' deputy, isn't it? And he's kind of had that by default this season, because there's been no other choice. Obviously, Wesley's back and available. Can you stop squeaking the doors? I'm doing a podcast here.
Please get us back to filming in real life soon. This is awful. Are we allowed to do that, by the way? You know, like the restrictions are changing. Are we allowed to film in person? Do we know? Yeah.
I'm not sure, mate. I'll check the probably. I think from Monday, can't you meet up indoors in sixes or something?
I don't know. But we're going to have to investigate because a few people have mentioned that it looks like you're sat on the toilet. We've really fallen below standards at this point.
What's in the creaking is then?
I don't know. I don't want to ask. Let's get back to football. Talk to me about Tyrone Mings. Looks in real pain. What? What are you laughing for?
Just the view of me being sat on the toilet, man. Imagine.
I know.
I'm a working class lad from Rowley Regis, mate, but not even I would take a dump and do a podcast at the same time.
Well, I'd be surprised. Right. Forget all that. Right. Edit. Tyrone Mings looked really in serious pain towards the end. Should have maybe scored with that head down. We potentially win the game, but some good defending and looked decent against Mark.
Yeah, he's proper old school in terms of his bravery, isn't he? He looked like he'd been shot, didn't he? Towards the you know, when he's cleared that from Lewin. I thought he was in real trouble. I'm glad that he got up and carried on. Which suggests that it wasn't, you know, I'm sure he was still smarting a bit, but it suggests that it's nothing really serious if he was able to get up and carry on. I did fear, having lost Matty Cash, I mean, obviously Dean Smith probably doing his press conference around now, so we'll find out exactly what we'll find out more detail about Matty Cash. I can't imagine he's going to play again this season if it's a muscle injury. So means Ahmed Al-Mahamady has a couple of farewell. He'll get 10,000 Villa fans giving him a standing ovation against Chelsea in a couple of weeks' time. But no, I'm just listen, I care more about Villa than I do about England's Euro 2020, 2021 squad. I don't mean that in a kind of nasty way. Obviously, I want England to do well as well. But I do fear a little bit for the ones, you know, Watkins, Grealish, Mings are still hoping to kind of make the cut. I don't want them to do themselves any jeopardy, put themselves in jeopardy or at risk. You know, as Villa's season kind of fizzles out.
This comment, I've got to flash it up. I'm not going to sing it to the tune, but you might. It's made me laugh. It shouldn't have. Do you want to sing along to that for the audio listeners?
I'm not going to sing it. Do you want me to sing? No, I'm not going to sing it.
I thought you might go for it. Someone else asked whether we've ever considered stand-up. Clearly not. No, definitely not. Don't encourage this silliness. We need to move on and talk about football. We're 30 minutes into this podcast and we've not mentioned Jack Grealish coming back yet, which is pretty much the main talking point. It's lovely to see him back, isn't it? Instant impact as soon as he came on as well. I don't know whether he's better or whether we've been so rubbish without him that him just running with the ball makes me excited.
Yeah, I think the thing about Jack Grealish is most players who've been out for, what's he been out for now, 47 years or 12, whatever it was? Or
12 games.
Most players who've been out for 12 games will probably feel the way back in gently and, you know, just play 5-yard passes to make sure that they're doing the basics right and just to kind of, you know, blow the rust off a little bit. But Jack Grealish, you know, as soon as he's got the ball, it's almost he's just remembered what he's missed, hasn't he? And just wants to be on the ball, wants to run at defenders, wants to commit defenders, wants to be body checked by defenders and rant at referees. It's a remarkable stat, isn't it, that he's still the most fouled player, having missed a third of the season. It's ridiculous, really. But no, he carried on where he left off. And it's great to see because even within those first couple of minutes, I think he got the ball and embarked on a run down the left and teed up, played the ball for target. And it was just, you can just see a little bit of a change in tempo to Villa and you know, no longer is every single ball and every single pass telegraphed. You know, there's a little bit of variety in there. And that's what we know he can do. And I think it's a challenge is his now, isn't it? You know, I think he's done enough in previous, you know, in two-thirds of the season to and in his first few England games to prove to Gareth Southgate, who was very, very cynical and had to be won over by Jack Grealish. But I think he's proved to him that he deserves to be involved. Now, that comes with a heavy dollop of bias because there's a lot of very good players in those kind of attacking midfield and forward areas for England. But it's exciting for Villa that Jack Grealish is going to be doing his absolute damnedest to make sure that, you know, he adds to his showreel over the next couple of weeks. And at a time when we're a bit worried that the Villa's season's gone flat, Jack Grealish can't afford for his season to be flat. You know, it's his stage now, isn't it? So it just gives a little bit of extra interest and intrigue for me for the last couple of games.
Would you be surprised if he didn't make that Euro squad?
I think I would, yeah. I think I would be surprised, and I'd be a bit gutted for him, really, yeah, because the journey that he's been on in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, people have written him off and said, oh yeah, you're a flat track bully, you can do it in the Championship, or you're a one game wonder, you can do it against Liverpool in the FA Cup semi final. When are you going to sustain it? When are you going to do it? And then it was, oh, he looked great last season, but he looked great because Villa were so poor and he only stood out for that reason. And people are running out of excuses to knock him anymore. People used to say he doesn't track back. He does. He's always grafted. He's always had a work ethic. You know, people say he goes down too easily, but we've seen bookings for Ollie Watkins and Traore today for diving. There's very few, if ever, has Jack Grealish been booked for diving? I might be being a bit naive here, but I don't think there's been many occasions when he has.
I think he might have got one in the Championship, maybe, if I remember right. Because I'm sure I've said before that Jack Grealish has never been booked for diving, and someone proved me wrong. I could be wrong again there, though.
Yeah. But it's only a very, very sparse amount of bookings for diving, if any. So, like I said, people have, even his biggest critics, the biggest cynics, and people who don't want to like him because he's this kind of, you know, this floppy haired, strutting, socks down kind of bit of a Jack the Lad. He's won those over as well, yeah. You know, and he's won over a cynical England manager. So I just think he deserves to be in that squad. Now, whether he starts, that's a different matter, but what an option to have off the bench. So fingers crossed he does get, I was going to say get on the plane, but I don't think his case is getting on the plane, get in the squad. Fingers crossed he does get in the squad, and fingers crossed he propels himself into the squad by lighting up Villa's last couple of games.
Yeah, I think personally, and I know that Southgate's been weird with the whole situation, I think he'll be in there guaranteed, even if the rest of his season he doesn't do anything, if he doesn't score or assist in the last three games. I think his place is guaranteed as long as he's fit. So if he starts the next three and does okay, I think he's definitely on the plane. Surely you have to take Jack Grealish to the Euros.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd think so. But like I say, we're massively biased. Yeah. I don't think Ollie Watkins will make the cut, if I'm being honest. I think Tyrone Mings and Jack Grealish will. But I'm it sounds really kind of unpatriotic, and I really hope that England have a good go at it, and the World Cup campaign a couple of years ago was really brilliant. It was as close to anything, you know. I'm old enough to have enjoyed Euro 96 and the World Cup Italia 90, you know, and the previous World Cup was as close to anything as that. So I hope England make a real good go of it. But my mind's already wandering to Aston Villa next season and Aston Villa closed season, and you know, what we do to take that next step. So as much as I want Jack and Tyrone Mings and Ollie Watkins to be there for their own professional careers and development, I really want to make sure that they're wrapped in cotton wool and that they're starting for Aston Villa next season.
Yeah. There's a few comments clarifying that he was booked in the Crystal Palace game last season for that VAR thing at the end from Lansbury scored.
Oh, right. I remember, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Because we've got Palace away at the weekend. The last time we played them last season, Lansbury, you know, Lansbury played. Was that going to be Lansbury? You know, Lansbury scored and had it chalked off. That seems like, I know I keep saying this, but that does seem like a real lifetime ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long time ago, to be fair. It was the start of last season, wasn't it? So we've had a whole season pretty much again since then. There isn't really much more to say, is there really? I can't think of anything. Have we missed anything major?
I don't know. I'm just trying to
think. 0-0, isn't it? What is there to say?
Well, you look ahead to next game. Watkins comes straight back in, doesn't he? However hard we thought Keane and Davies tried, Watkins comes in. El Mohammedi is gonna start at right back. It's what are you laughing at?
Someone says talk about sausage rolls or something.
I had a chippy tea again tonight, but we've already done the chippy tea talk. We do that every other week.
Would you start Grealish? Does he definitely start?
I don't know. Probably does now. He probably does, because if they think, listen, I don't think he'll still have kept himself, you know, fitness wise. I don't think there'd be a problem with that. I think you have to, because I think he'll be in, not that he picks the team, but he'll be insisting on getting as many minutes in his legs as he can. Dean Smith will think, you know, we've got three games left. Let's see if we can get 6 points or more from those. It's going to be a big ask, because two of them, you know, Tottenham and Chelsea, are in there as well as Palace. I think he will. And I would start him, you know, providing he's... What are you laughing at?
Oh, I shouldn't have laughed, Lex. It's such a stupid joke. I'm going to have to mention it now. I was hoping I'd get away with it. Reece says, did you hear about that Italian chef that died? Yeah, he passed away. It's not even funny, but I laughed. I'm embarrassed that I laughed at that. What were you saying? I'm so sorry.
I can't remember. Jack Grealish starting. I would start him. I think Dean Smith will start him. I've not really, like I said, I've not really got a great deal to this, which is not great for a podcast, is it?
No. There is one thing we mentioned. Tom Fleming has brought it up. He says, mention Emi hitting the clean sheet record. He's level with Brad Friedel now with 15 Premier League clean sheets. They mentioned it, didn't they? Like the 85th minute, I think it was, saying, oh, he's won away. He's not had a clean sheet since Wolves away. And I was like, that's it now. That's ruined it. He's obviously going to concede. But finally hits that target, that record to equal it. Does he break it with three to go, do you think? Crystal Palace is the obvious.
I hope so. It's taken long enough to equal it, because we've been banging on about it for the last 2 months. Did we say Wolves at home was the last?
It was Wolves at home at home away.
I think he will. I think he will break it. And I think it's, you know, it'll be a nice kind of, I don't know how seriously footballers take little milestones like that. Do you think you'll get like a little kind of letter of congratulations from the club secretary or something, or a little kind of plaque with a trophy made from, you know, from the local whatever? I'm just spouting words. He definitely deserves it. The good thing about Martinez as well is you could count the mistakes he's made all this season on the fingers of one of his very, very precious hands. But when he does make a mistake, he bounces back really quickly. You know, we were saying on the weekend that he perhaps should have done better for United's second goal. But he doesn't faze him particularly. He knows that his standards are normally so high that he seems to be able to shake off and shrug off those kind of mistakes. I tell you what I did want to mention. It was just, I mean, I don't know when the results of the ballot are out for Villa Park. They might be out now. If they are, I'm not going, because I've not got an email. But one of the reasons, well, the main reason I want to get back is because it's a fantastic place and I want to be amongst fellow Villa fans and enjoy Villa Park and enjoy watching my team again. Another reason is so I don't have to listen to Sky Sports commentators and pundits, because they're absolutely doing my head in at the moment. Jamie Redknapp before the game said that, how did he describe it? I think he described Villa's recruitment last season as being very bad, which I thought it was just a little bit ignorant and harsh in the extreme, because yes, Villa signed a few duds. And yes, you know, the sporting director, Suso, paid the price and had to leave. But to me, that recruitment, I don't want to go over too much old ground, but that recruitment was what kept Villa in the Premier League. Villa had to build a first 11 and a squad of sorts for the Premier League. So it's mission accomplished in that sense. So I don't know how that can equate to being very bad. And then in the next breath, they're praising Ezri Konsa and Tyrone Mings, who were signed in that window anyway. You know, just kind of get your facts straight. And the other, Andy Hinchcliffe tonight was just so, he's just so moany. Just, you know, whatever anybody does, Andy Hinchcliffe suggests that they should have done it better. Now, if Andy Hinchcliffe was a decent Premier League, you know, fair to middling Premier League fullback, but, you know, he wasn't Roberto Carlos. So what is he? He just seems to have a really, real mardy tone on him all the time. So I'll be glad of shutting those lot out and just hearing my son moaning instead.
Also, off the top of my head, aren't five of those players signed last season starting tonight? Konsa, Mings, Target, Douglas Luiz and El Ghazi?
Yeah, you know, starting for a Villa team that's 10th, 11th in the Premier League. So yeah. it's just a bit of a lazy thing that pundits can trot out. But, you know, fair play to Jamie Redknapp for actually mentioning Villa anyway, because I thought he'd probably be looking at the other screen seeing, you know, God, Andy Robertson stretching his calves or something.
I tell you what, I'm glad they split the screen to show us Liverpool warming up, because I don't know how they managed it. Liverpool turn up for a game and that's news.
It's a bit like this splitting the screen, isn't it? I mean, you've got me as the main event and then just you as a unwanted distraction in the corner, you know. So I won't, as much as it's been good to have access to every single game on television, while we've not been allowed anywhere near the stadiums, I'm not gonna miss the kind of token gesture commentary that we sometimes get. Well, that we regularly get.
There's probably some people watching this or writing something in the comments saying that they can't wait for us to be back at games, so they don't have to hear us talking at the end of them.
Well, that's gonna present a logistical challenge of its own, isn't it? I wonder if we can kind of rent a room in the Witten area. You know, just a little kind of spare room, or you know, we'll have to have a word with some of the boozers around the ground, see if we can product placement in return for us doing our podcasts. So otherwise, we're going to have to battle through the traffic, aren't we?
Yeah. When we in the olden days before this, we used to just film the podcast on Monday morning. 2 days had passed between a game before we spoke about it. That seems weird.
Imagine a 0-0 2 days later.
Yeah. I don't know how we did it.
we're going to have to have a think about that anyway. We're going to have to plan the logistics.
It's a problem for next season. Let's think about it then.
Or next weekend, or the 23rd.
Yeah, but we won't be there, will we?
Well, I might be. Have you not entered the ballot?
Yeah, but I think my dad did it. So, I mean, somehow, but I haven't heard back. If it's 10,000. What's the chance that you and me are both going to get in out of 10,000?
I don't know, but I can't do the maths. Do we 10,000?
The last point that I wanted to reference quickly is just a throwaway pointless thing, but I wanted to do it for the sake of people saying why you've been talking about it. Arsenal fans on Twitter are going crazy about trying to sign Grealish this summer. Someone's just mentioned it in the comments, actually, which is perfect timing, but I can't show it because of language. They're like, oh, go and get him. Like, come, all these replies and these tweets are come to Arsenal. Me and Ash spoke about it on our last one, and I posted a clip from it, and people are like, why are you even giving this airtime? And we're giving it more airtime now. But just the opportunity to mock Arsenal fans is worth giving it airtime. Arsenal signing Jack Grealish, are you joking?
How many times are you saying the word Arsenal? Is this for SEO purposes or what?
I just wanted to say, first of all, your thoughts on all the fans of opposition clubs that would be trying to sign Jack Grealish this summer. Social media would be mental for, oh, Jack Grealish, come here, Jack Grealish, do this. First of all, I don't think he's going. But secondly, Arsenal?
Yeah, I love the fact that opposition fans are clamouring for our players. You never used to get the kind of, you know, the Real Madrid message boards pinging like mad saying, we need Yacouba Silla, did you? You know what I mean? So,
fair loss.
Yeah, he loves the Villa anyway, anyone knows that. as does Jack Grealish. And I just think that, listen, we know, don't we? We know if Jack Grealish eventually leaves this parish, he's going to go to a Champions League parish. And that's not Arsenal. That's not Arsenal this season. And unless they have some kind of remarkable recovery, I'm not sure that's Arsenal for the next couple of seasons. So, no, it's funny. I'm glad that our players are popular and wanted by clubs with delusions of grandeur who think they're bigger and more entitled than us. But no, I can't see it happening. It amuses me greatly, but I'd probably stick my neck out. I think Jack Grealish should be an Aston Villa player again next season. I hope I'm not tempting fate, but you know, I've moaned in the past, haven't I, about certainly last season with us all being in lockdown and not in games, that we'd seen the last of Jack Grealish in a Villa shirt in the flesh. I don't think that is the case now. I think we're going to go and enjoy him for another season at least.
Yeah,
before we get to the Emirates.
Yeah, that's just funny. I think I said, why would you go to Arsenal? They're not even in Europe. And Arsenal replied back saying, well, Villa aren't in Europe. So hang on a minute, that wasn't my point, was it? I'm saying if he leaves Villa, he won't go to Arsenal because they're not in, he'll leave Villa to go into Europe, not to go to another team in mid-table. It's just weird. Arsenal fans are weird, basically. That's my point.
Yeah, well, let Arsenal Fan TV have this discussion. I'd rather talk about Aston Villa.
Also, final Jack Grealish thing I wanted to mention. There's a few comments earlier on in the podcast saying that when Jack came on, it looked like his socks were higher than usual to hide these new shin pads that he must have to protect his shins. And I quickly went through the archive and found a picture. I'll flash it up on screen. They look as low as ever to me, don't they?
You need to get the VAR lines out, don't you? to check
I didn't exactly notice that they were longer. He just came on, got the captain's armband and looked his usual self for a 15-minute cameo, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know about the required sock length and shin pad size, but it looked like, say, it looked like the Jack Grealish we've all been clamouring for over the last couple of months. So I think it's probably the only real thing of any note to emerge tonight, yeah. Really. Other than that, it was pretty much of a muchness, to be honest.
Should we call it tonight?
Yeah, I think so. We've managed to squeeze through the half-hour mark with a bit of filler. Yeah.
Got there in the end. Just have to hit half an hour is our target for these, apparently, there. Dud, thank you very much for watching. Thank you, Matt, for joining me from the bathroom and your squeaky door. Go out and get some oil for those hinges for next time, because you've sorted your internet out, which is one positive, but we've got a creaky door instead, which... Yeah, I'd prefer that over bad internet, but for a podcast, people listening to this who won't even be able to see you will be like, what was that noise out of nowhere? And then we have to explain it. And no, it's just a running joke. But yeah, nice to see you, see you properly, not be all fuzzy and crackly. But I'd prefer not to see you sat on the toilet next time, if it's possible.
No, it's fine, mate. Well, I've got to wipe now anyway and wash my hands. So I'll.
Right, let's call it there. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back again on Sunday for the Crystal Palace game, Sunday afternoon. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and up the Villa. Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, up the Villa.